We are in an era of commemorations. Last year, we celebrated the coming of Presbyterianism to Broad Island in 1613. This year marks the Battle of Clontarf 1,000 years ago, when Brian Boru, the High King of Ireland, clashed with the Viking-Irish alliance. On Friday, we remember the landings on the Normandy beaches, which signalled the final stages of the Second World War. And on the 4th of August, the centenary of the entry of Britain into the First World War. And of course, it's appropriate that those who live in the Republic of Ireland and who fought in the two world wars are being recognized. We are also challenged by how we are to remember the events of the Troubles, because remembering is important. In our reading, we heard how the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan on dry ground. Joshua instructed the people to erect a memorial, and we are told very specifically why. So that they would remember what the Lord had done. Of course, this wasn't the first time such a memorial had been given to the people. When the firstborn was dedicated to the Lord, when in time to come your son asks you, "What does this mean?" you shall say to him, "By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." And even the law had a similar purpose. When your son asks you in time to come, "What is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you?" then you shall say to your son, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." And what God was saying to his people in those days, "Do not forget what I have done in the past. Do not forget how I have saved you when you were in a desperate situation." Memories are important to us. We have to remember names and faces. And for moderators, that can be very difficult. And let me apologize in advance if I get it wrong. We remember telephone numbers, recipes, a host of information. We love to remember the past and family and friends who have died. And yet, many of us find it difficult to remember. It's been said that humans tend to forget half of newly learned information in a matter of days. We know that sometimes we forget something we heard last week, but we can still remember our times tables that we learned 40, 50, 60 years ago. The inability to remember prompted the Lord Jesus to give this command to his disciples. "This do in remembrance of me." What Jesus wants us to remember is what he has done on the cross and how he has saved us when we were in a desperate situation. And so for 2,000 years, the church has gathered at the Lord's table with these words ringing in her ears, "This do in remembrance of me." Sin is a serious business. It separates us from God. It denies us access to God and to heaven. That is what the Jews were taught. It was emphasized by the architecture of the temple. The people could see the sights, they could smell the incense, but no admittance. Only the priest could get close to God. The Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence on earth, the Shekinah glory hidden behind that curtain. The curtain was 80 feet high. It was 7 inches thick, made of blue and fine linens, scarlet and purple. There was a panorama of heaven included, the stars, the planets, the cherubim, guardians of the holiness of God. And everything on that curtain said, no entry. Only the high priest could go in, and that only one day a year. The curtain was a barrier to the Holy of Holies. And this was a powerful message to the people. The Jewish historian Josephus likened the curtain in the temple to the entrance of heaven itself. He said the temple was like the universe, divided into three parts. The outer court, the holy place, were like the land and sea. The Holy of Holies represented heaven, accessible only to God. Jesus died at 3 o'clock when the priests gathered for sacrifice. And so most of the priests were in the temple. And as they stood outside the city walls, Jesus cried with a loud voice at that moment. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. Not just a rip, not just a tear, but all the way down, 7 inches thick, 80 feet high. No human being could do it. But God had opened the door to his presence. One writer has said it was as if the hands of heaven were gripping the curtain, waiting for this precise moment. One moment it was whole, the next it was ripped in two from top to bottom. And what does that miracle signify? It signifies that we are no longer denied access to God. Why? Because Jesus died. And something happened in the death of Christ that enabled us to gain access to God. I read earlier from the book of Hebrews, since we have confidence to enter through the curtain, his body. And to the original readers, those last words would have been explosive. The curtain, his body. And when Jesus hung on the cross, and when his body was torn asunder, God ripped the curtain. And what happened to his flesh was a symbol of our entry into the very presence of God. But the Lord's Supper does not only encourage us to remember the past, it also encourages us to remember the future. In what sense can we remember the future? Well, it's impossible to foretell the future. We don't believe in those quacks who claim to predict what will happen in the days to come. But we do believe that God, who is in control of everything that happens, knows the future and has told us something of it in the Bible. God brings redemption to us by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is only part of a chain which includes his birth and which will culminate in his second coming. And so when we remember the death of Jesus, we are also to remember that one day he is coming back again. When Paul writes that we show forth the Lord's death until he comes, he doesn't only mean that we continue with this sacrament until the end of time, but that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are to remember that Christ is coming again. We not only remember what he has done for us in the past, but we remember what he will do for us one day in the future. And when Christ comes again, it will be for the benefit of our whole bodies. He will bring in a full redemption. Redemption for the soul. The sacrifice, the bread and wine speak to us of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as his body was broken and his blood was shed. And it's through that sacrifice and through that sacrifice alone that Christ deals with your sin and with my sin. Will God really forgive us because of what Christ has done? Will God accept the payment that he made on our behalf? The Bible tells us that God has accepted this sacrifice because he raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection is the proof that God considers Christ's death to be sufficient payment for the sins of his people. And so salvation is assured for all who accept God's grace by their faith. The soul is brought from death unto life. We know that sin is still a great part of our lives. We continue to break God's law, even though we are God's people. Although our souls are saved, they are still hindered from total purity by our sin. But when Christ comes again, sin will be put to an end. Our souls will be cleansed. We will have full redemption for our souls. One of the promises of Christ's salvation is to make us new creatures. But you and I know that as believers, while we might have a new relationship with Christ, while we might have been adopted into the family of God, I at least am far from perfect. But when Christ comes again, that redemption for our souls will be complete. Can we be sure it will happen? Yes, we can be assured that our sins will be blotted out because the bread and wine remind us of what Christ has done and what he will do one day for us. But this total redemption does not only apply to our souls, there is also total redemption for our bodies. Paul writes that we await eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. You know that there are some philosophies that teach that the soul is the all-important part, that the body is insignificant. Indeed, some even teach that the body is sinful, it's evil, and we do well to be released from it at death. But nothing could be further from the truth. Human beings are created body and soul. And so bodies are included in the redemption that Christ won on the cross. Go to John chapter 5 sometime and read there of the redemption of our bodies as he speaks about the resurrection. And then in chapter 6, where Jesus goes on to say that the Father will raise up his people. Can we be sure that Christ will accomplish this? Yes. As we take the bread and the wine today, we remember that he has won redemption for body and for soul. When the Apostle Paul was talking about the second coming, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the Lord himself will descend. Isn't that amazing? The Lord himself, not a proxy, but the Lord himself will come again and we will be raised. When we thank God for what he has done for our souls in the past, we thank him for what he will do for our bodies in the future. And so redemption is for the whole person, body and soul. And he must return so that this redemption can be accomplished. Isn't it a lovely thought that one day we will stand before the Lord face to face in our bodies? But not only that, that we will be reunited with those we have loved and lost a while. Joshua said that they should have this memorial so that people would remember what God had done for them. This do in remembrance of me. But at the very end of our reading, Joshua said this, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and you may fear the Lord your God forever. Let us ensure that the peoples of the earth know that our God is mighty. We were reminded earlier in our business that we as a church should not simply be reactive, but that we should be proactive, that we should be people of outreach to take the wonderful message we have to the highways and byways of our land, to ensure that people know about our God and all that he has done for us. That's why we do this in remembrance of him. Amen. The table of our Lord Jesus Christ is open to all who are in communion with the Church of Jesus Christ. We therefore invite you who are in communion and who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity and in truth, and who have examined themselves, to join in this holy fellowship. Hear the gracious words of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.